F.H. Batacan was born in Manila and graduated from the University of Philippines with a B.A. in Communication and an M.A. in Art History. For 10 years, she worked for the Philippine intelligence community, you know, kind of like the Filipino FBI. But then she turned to broadcast journalism. Smaller and smaller circles, her first novel won the prestigious Philippine National Book Award and is widely regarded as the first Philippine crime novel. F.H., welcome to Words on a Wire.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
And we're talking to you all the way from Singapore, I understand.
Yes. I just moved back here after 2 years in Manila.
Let's talk about your novel, Smaller and Smaller Circles. I want to give a little background on it. You first wrote this, I think it first came out in the 90s, the late 90s, maybe 98. It was considered at the time the very first Filipino crime novel. And it won the Carlos Palanca Memorial Award for Best English Language Novel, which is basically like the Pulitzer Prize of the Philippines. It's a big deal. And so this novel got a lot of attention. Then there was an editor from Soho Press who went to a Filipino book fair, picked up your novel, and take the story from there because it's really fascinating.
Right. The novella on which this current edition is based was first published by the University of the Philippines Press in 2002. Prior to that, I entered it into the Palanca Awards contest. Mm-hmm. That was around 98 or 99. I'd not really had taken any sort of serious creative writing classes. I took two creative writing classes as an elective for mm-hmm. something else entirely. I was an art studies major, and I just sort of wrote the kind of book that I thought I wanted to read.
Oh, that's wonderful. That is a good guideline, I think, for any fiction writer. Write not what you perceive others want to read, but what you want to read.
Mm-hmm. And maybe we can talk about the reasons for writing the book a bit later, but fast forward to when Juliet of Soho Press found the book was she was invited, Juliet Grahams was invited to a literary festival in the Philippines, and she was given a copy of my book, and so they fortunately when I sent this book out into the world, it's really made its own journey.
Mm-hmm.
I've done very little. it's just like, you know, I've been busy with my life and doing other things, and it's just kind of crawled and run and walked on its own little legs. And so they seem to like the book. They made wonderful, wonderful suggestions about how to expand it and how to really make it more, more of the kind of novel, crime fiction novel that is usually found out there in the world outside the Philippines.
Right.
In terms of length, in terms of complexity, in terms of, I guess, the, you know, certain demands that, you know, the avid crime fiction reader would make of such a novel. And then we got to work, started working in extensively on the revisions in 2013 after I moved back to Manila, and that's it. That's the book that you have in your hands right now.
And from the very first page, the novel completely draws you in. It's one of those books that you could read and you forget you're reading, and you're just kind of experiencing it, like watching it like a movie. It's interesting that one of the assumptions that this book has revealed and has questioned, and perhaps this was part of the controversy, because I know when this book first came out in the Philippines, it was very controversial, but one of the assumptions that it questions is that a belief in the Philippines that there are no serial killers. Is this true? This is what I read about the novel.
Yeah, it seems to be a widely held belief that, you know, we're such a closely knit society. Everyone knows everyone else. You have such a huge extended family. We live in such, as in physically, many families in Metro Manila are packed tight with other families, whether they're living in apartments or shanty towns or, you know, that sort of thing. But and the logic, well, the commonly held notion seems to be that you can't possibly commit this kind of crime in such an environment. But part of my past is that I used to work for a government intelligence agency, and right. although of course I can't really talk extensively about the work I do.
Right, and I was going to ask you about that too, but we'll get to that.
Yeah,
but don't worry, I won't ask you to reveal government secrets.
Yeah, no. Part of the training I received was sort of the realization that most law enforcement at the time, and to some extent it's still true now, at the time that I was writing the book, was that most law enforcement agencies don't really collect the kind of data, the kind of information, and sort of weave it together into a kind of logical, big picture sort of...
Right, right. So it's not that there wasn't serial killers or you know, serial killings, it's that it wasn't recorded or noticed.
It wasn't properly recorded, you know, even now, and it really drives me nuts. And you know, the recording of crime, the custodianship of evidence, and all of these things that, you know, you think that, oh gosh, this is the 21st century, you must know how the basics of processing a crime scene, processing evidence, and all that sort of thing. You must know this, and it's just not followed in so many cases and so many situations in the country.
Right.
And that's really what he comes up against, the protagonists.
Father Sines.
Come up against, yeah.
Like I said, the novel is a page-turner. Right from the beginning, you're hooked. It's really a wonderfully written novel, and I'm surprised you haven't had much formal training in fiction writing, because it is an amazingly written book. But it's also incredibly important for what it reveals. And, you know, the fact is, if there are killings in middle-class, you know, families or in upper-class families, yeah, it's going to be noticed. But you set this novel in the Payatas, I think I'm saying that correctly, which is a 50-acre yeah. dump in part of Manila, where people actually live and where the only living they could make is to scavenge in that dump. This is a really important setting for the book, because basically you're talking about a part of the population that is completely ignored. So if somebody ends up missing, like they do in this novel, nobody notices, except for, in this case, the protagonist, Father Sines. Can you tell us about that setting and about, is this a real place?
It is a real place. And in fact, just 2 years before the novel came out, there was a massive, massive landslide that killed so many people. It was basically a garbage slide.
Mm-hmm.
After days of weeks of torrential rain, basically this massive mountain of garbage just came crashing down.
Wow.
And people were buried alive underneath it. And these are people who I actually, in 1992, I moved to a house, our present home in Metro Manila, which is every day you kind of pass through this massive highway that off to the one side of it is this huge dump site, this landfill. And there are several communities surrounding it, for 4 or 5 barangays that form the boundaries around this landfill. And people, you know, whether they've been displaced by poverty, displaced by the lack of jobs in other parts of the country, they come to the city and they find it's relatively easier to make a living from the dump, scavenging from the dump, than you know, trying to find a proper job, trying to find a place to plant food. Or it's a very sad commentary on how we've failed the most vulnerable of our society. Right. And that's what this landfill community is a testament to.
Right. And, you know, how important it is to write about this community, especially now that the book is coming out in the U.S. It comes out in November, and it's going to be probably the first time people have even heard about this kind of existence. And so it's really exposing it, and I'm sure that's going to have a positive effect. I hope so.
I think I always say that more than, I mean, of course, there are the sort of the crime fiction aspects of the novel and, right. and you know, the investigation and so on and so forth. But I think I first wrote it at a period in my life when I was really very, very angry. I was angry with the kind of attitudes, the complacency, the corruption, I couldn't wrap my head around why, if you were in a position of power, a position of responsibility, why wouldn't you want to do your job right? Why wouldn't you? And that, you know, that kind of attitude, which I saw in my own agency, multiplied through the rest of the Philippine civil service and the rest of Philippine law enforcement, and you can imagine how, you know, the conditions that are created that keep the rest of the country poor, uneducated, underserved by the justice system, by government, you know, all of these things.
I'm talking to F.H. Batakan about her new novel, new for the United States. It's coming out in November, called Smaller and Smaller Circles. It is considered the first Filipino crime novel. Tell us a little bit about your protagonist, Father Sines. He is a priest and a forensic anthropologist. Why a priest?
Well, of course, the Philippines is predominantly Catholic, and I think you're going to laugh, but when I was a little girl, as in maybe like 4 or 5, kindergarten age, I always thought I was going to grow up and either become a policeman or a priest.
Oh, that's awesome.
It was really weird because then somebody told me, you know, like, you're a girl, you can't become a priest.
And being a nun just doesn't sound the same.
but I always was fascinated by the idea of a man of faith who was also simultaneously a man of science and someone who, you know, is able to sort of move kind of seamlessly between those two worlds, in both his physical world as well as in his mind. And for science, there's really no, in the real world, people are always saying there's a conflict between religion and science, and you can never reconcile the two. But for science, there's really no. He doesn't think about his. I don't see him as seeing his faith as being this sort of straitjacket that he's kind of bound to creationism and all that. For him, he can kind of straddle both worlds and not find any real conflict. And he finds fulfillment and fascination in both worlds.
And on some metaphorical level, he is that priest you wanted to become. The forensic anthropologist part of him perhaps is that part of you that participated in the intelligence community, and then his incredible faith that leads him to care, to get angry, you know, about these kids who are turning up murdered. And some of the detail, oh my gosh, of what he finds is really, really difficult. But he's quite a character. One of the things that really disgusts him is there's a priest, last name Ramirez, who has questionable practices when it comes to little boys, and it really angers Father Sines, who tries to get something done about it, but nobody listens to him, and until the end of the book, of course. And I'm wondering about this character, Father Ramirez, if how he came about, and was there any protest from the church about this kind of portrayal?
Oh, well, actually, that character wasn't in the original, so...
Oh, so this is a new one. Well, that's wonderful because it really adds a layer of tension. You know, it's not just the murders that are going on, but it's also this whole environment of unsafety that the people have to go through. So it really is a wonderful addition. How did you come about the title Smaller and Smaller Circles?
Well, I think it's explained a bit in, there's a part where the novel flips between the world of science and then the interior world of of the perpetrator, and he talks about being, you know, in the center of a circle and like a rat circling a piece of cheese. That was kind of like the imagery in my mind was that science is kind of working from the periphery of this one person, and he's just kind of going around and narrowing that distance between himself and the perpetrator, and sort of moving in increasingly, you know, smaller circles toward the person that he's looking for.
Yeah.
And I think beyond just, and I hope I do hope that comes through, that beyond just nabbing a killer, he wants to understand. It's a big deal for science, and Lucero, and Jerome is his friend whom accompanies him on the investigation.
He's the other priest. Yeah,
they're men of science. But they're also men of the cloth, and they want to understand. I think that quest for understanding it's part of who they are. You know, the investigation is not just let's get this guy who's doing this, but really to come to a deeper understanding of why this is happening and what can be done. Can this be prevented? Can this person be helped? You know, I hope that that's conveyed in the book.
Oh, I think the title works on multiple levels. It's a wonderful title. In fact, even the experience of reading the book itself, it's kind of, you get tighter and tighter into the plot until there's a certain point where you just can't let go. And I think it's a wonderful book, and I wish you the best of luck. F.H. Batakan, thank you for joining us on Words on a Wire.
Thank you very much.